learn how to do plumbing. I learned how to do carpenter work, sheetrock, and you know, concrete work. And I learned how to do those things.
Charles Bradley had been a handyman and chef for many years, and now at age 62, he adds another title, recording artist. Bradley had been singing James Brown covers in Bushwick when the head of Daptone Records dropped by. And Bradley's debut record is just now being released. He makes one of his first ever radio appearances right here at FUV with a full band. Charles Bradley in conversation and performance on today's Words and Music from Studio A. I'm Claudia Marshall. 40-some years ago, Charles Bradley, just a kid from Brooklyn, was taken by his sister to see James Brown perform at the Apollo, and he knew he too wanted to sing soul. He left home at 14, hit the road, hitchhiking, living on the streets, and eventually found work as a chef. But Bradley never gave up on his dream of singing, and until very recently, you could find him performing in Bushwick, Brooklyn, as James Brown, using the stage name Black Velvet. Daptone Records got wind of that raw talent and went to work, signing Bradley to a new imprint and bringing in a top-notch band, including members of the Daptones, the Menahan Street Band, and Budos Band. Headed by Tommy TNT Brennick, the full band joins us in Studio A, and we'll head right into that session to learn more about the new release, No Time for Dreaming, with the title track from Charles Bradley's debut CD on FUV. That's a song from the new record, No Time for Dreaming, Charles Bradley on WFUV, and it brings him to Studio A today. Hey, welcome.
Hey, thank you.
How you doing, man?
Feeling good.
Where you been my whole life?
Oh, my God. Right in my heart. I say it that way.
You kind of came out of nowhere with this record, at least for us here. I know you've been performing in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
As Black Velvet.
Yes.
So now you're performing as Charles Bradley.
Tommy brought me out of my shell. I was doing other singers like, you know, James Brown and stuff like that.
Right.
You know. And Tommy said he wanna see the real part of me. He said, you already mastered James Brown now. I wanna see you.
Is that a hard thing to do yourself on stage?
I would say yes and no. It's depending on how the feeling goes. You got to speak the truth. And then sometimes it's a heartaches and pains, you know? And when you hear those pains, sometimes you don't want to mention it. But the music makes me soothe it off and bring it out.
Yeah, because some of these songs really get at some hard stuff.
Yes, got really some hard things in
it.
And I'm just learning how to really come at it and talk about it and sing about it.
Well, why don't we get you to sing about it now?
Okay.
Shall we do that?
All right.
Fantastic. Charles Bradley with us on WFUV.
Been time in my life when the world was so cold, can't find a friend anywhere at all. So my brother came to me, Charles, you gotta stand tall, because we'll brother is gone.
Charles Bradley, live in Studio A on WFUV. Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff. I can't believe you just came out of nowhere as a virtual unknown to us. Have you recorded before?
No, it's my first time really coming out. Tommy found me. I give the credit to him and homie. The guys saw me. They liked what I did. And they put me in and like had a hard time bringing the hard things out of me, but I got the norm, so gave me a chance to just saw that it was for real, the heart was real, and they showed me. So I get the norm more and more, and then they got to know my depths and they helped me bring it out. So,
the process of writing these songs, you worked?
I worked through Tommy, and it was hard to really bring him out. But Tommy's a sensitive person. He's sure a hard front, but he's a very sensitive person. And he helped me bring him out.
Because you're really singing about the loss of your brother.
Yes, that's heartaches and pain. And when we leave here, we go into Caverton to see him, his gravesite. So it's going to be a moment for me. But with the music, I promised my brother, he said, Charles, regardless of how hard it takes, I want you to do your music. He said, do something that you feel real in. I worked all my life, 35 years as a chef and cook. So now, he said, brother, I want you to do something for yourself. Get out there and show the real who you are. And so this is what I'm trying to do, not with a corrupted mind, with a humble mind.
Mm. Well, you certainly have a great band backing you here, yeah. And of course with the folks over at Daptone, you know, what a great crew they are. And you've seen what's happened with Sharon Jones, who, yes. You know, yes. Just like you, wow. Went from complete obscurity to who knows what kind of heights you could scale. So that's got to be an exciting moment for you.
It's very exciting. And I say, wow, they say, I thought one moment that everything was going down for me until I met these guys, you know. But God, to keep your mind clean and straight, he'll show you the past. And I think I found the past through these guys. I thank all of them.
The write-up on the Facebook page says that you've had a hard road.
Yes.
You've had some real hard times. Is this really turning things around for you now?
I thank God just answered my prayer. You know, it just like really, I asked myself why it took so long, but you can't question God when he want to do things. So at my late age, it just started coming. And I just say, God, thank you. But I say one thing. Before I leave this earth and God says, well done, servant, then I know I've done my job.
Charles Bradley, would you sing for us again today?
Sure.
On WFUV.
Loving you, baby, when you're holding me, baby, I feel so real, oh, baby, when you're kissing me, baby, I've been searching for love, moaning for love, giving. I know, oh baby, when you touch me, baby, my heart. I know it's for real, baby. holding me, baby.
Charles Bradley on WFUV. I'm Claudia Marshall. Great to have you here today, man, and all these fantastic musicians. Could somebody introduce the band?
I'm going to let Tommy do it because I don't
want to. Come on, Tommy.
Is mic on?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
And we should say right now that Tommy, the guy who's going to be doing the introducing, is it safe to call you the band leader? You're certainly the producer here.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Congratulations. You're a band leader and producer.
Wow.
Nice to have you here.
Thanks a lot. So to my left, we have Nick Mobshin on the bass guitar, Dave Guy on the trumpet, Leon Michaels on the saxophone, the best horn section on this planet, Mike Deller on the farfisa, the one and only Mr. Charles Bradley, and the one and only Homer Steinweiss on the drum kit.
Now, I know that the Daptone and Dunham labels kind of one big happy family. Little confusing for some of us to keep track of who's in which band. How many Dap Kings do we have in the room right now?
Well,
three Dap Kings?
Couple Dap Kings, couple ex-Dap Kings.
Right. How many Menahan Street Band guys?
Well, all of us.
All the
Menahan Street Band.
Right. What about Sugarman Trio?
Sugarman 3 is, that's old school. That's old school.
Okay. What does that mean?
That means none of us. That's before our time.
Okay.
No, Dave was in the Sugarman 3.
Is the Sugarman 3 defunct now? No pun intended, defunct. Oh, God.
Let's get Sugarman on the phone.
Yeah, I know. Where is it? Come on, dude. Okay, so Sugarman 3, no. What did I leave out? Oh, Lee Fields and the Expressions? Any Expressions
all
in the room?
Above. All.
Okay. What am I leaving out?
It is a big happy family. You kind of nailed it when you said that.
Oh, the Budos band and Auntie Wallace. Wait, how many Budos band members?
Me and Deller on the farfisa are Budos members.
Okay.
Dave Guy is a Budos honorary Budos guy.
Okay,
honorary
good, Budos. Good. All right.
Everybody in this room is actually honorary Budos, including Bradley. Everybody's played on a Budos record.
And what
here.
About Auntie Wallace?
Nick is Auntie OG Auntie Wallace.
Okay.
I don't know if he's in the band anymore.
What does it mean, OG?
I don't think he knows if he's in the band anymore.
You know,
since Auntie Wallace went to Broadway, there's been a little rift.
Oh, a schism.
It's been a schism in
the
system.
Right, because they're playing in Fela now, right?
Well, because they're playing on Broadway.
Right. So what does that mean, man?
That means the underground is gone.
Oh, so
the street cred is gone.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
That's a good paying job,
though.
And we're
a street band, you
know, so. No, I don't know. That's a good paying job.
You got to have street cred if you want to be in a street band.
That's interesting. Okay. So I guess the bottom line is I'm really glad that you guys are all working. Right?
We are all very, very happy and lucky to be working, too.
Yeah, because you sound great, and it's great to have you all back. And back to Charles. Charles, you talk about being at this stage in your life, not a young man. Obviously, the physical demands of singing like this, let alone touring. Are you thinking about taking this show on the road?
Sure. I believe in one thing. If you got something to give, give it. You know, and I feel that as long as God gives me the strength to keep giving, I keep giving.
Well, you sure are giving it all in these performances today, and I think it's got a... You know, people who are maybe not musicians don't realize the physical demands of you know, just singing, just playing can be really, really something. But this is something you've really waited for many, many years.
You know, I've been doing, you know, like singing on the side and was a cook at the same time. But, you know, it's just I always loved the music. So, like, I just kept doing both of them. And then when I came back to New York, you know, just like my brother just said, Charles, you don't put on your time. Now do something that you really want to do. And just got into it and I started feeling it more. And then one time I thought it was gone, but then I meet positive peoples that who have interest in me and gave me a chance.
So you feel like it's a break, it's a great moment. It seems like it should be fun. Is it a lot of fun?
It's a lot of fun.
Is it?
It's a lot of fun, but Tommy get on my case. When I do something wrong, he get on the case and put me back in spot and say, nope, do it like that.
Yeah, he looks
But he's right, but he be right. But sometimes I be in a spot that I just don't want to take it. but he'd give me the right words.
Tommy looks all like friendly and like a nice guy over there with his brogues on and everything, but yeah. I could see he could be a tough taskmaster.
Yes.
I guess that's why they pay him the medium bucks, right? So part of the plan involves going out on the road with these guys.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah,
so what's next? I mean, are you thinking big?
I'm thinking the sky's the limit.
Really?
Yeah. As long as I can keep going, I want to, when I get on that stage, I just say, well, if it's my time to leave this planet, I want to go on the stage.
That's the way I feel. You want to do that before it's time to check out.
Yes, I want to give all. Right. When I know I gave it all and I know the real love what I did, then it's time.
I don't want to get too terribly, you know, personal or detailed, but we're talking about achieving some pretty big highs here. You've had some pretty big lows. Can you talk a little bit about where you've been in your past?
Well, I was born in Gainesville, Florida. And I went to Job Corps. Job Corps is the one that really helped me from falling down on my feet, because I was on my own there since I was 14 years old.
You were living on the streets.
Yes, and I've been there, living in the subway trains, and I've been there and back, you know. But it's the point, what kept me strong is I believe in something higher than man. I know God is a creator of all of us. So that's what kept me going, keep going. And I thank him now, because if I look back at my past, if I would have gave up, I would have fell into the corrupted world. And really messed my life up, and I would have never got to know you guys. So I must be doing something good. God is happy with me.
So you were born in Florida.
Yeah.
And came up in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and then I left home at 14 years old. And I went to Job Corps, and I stayed in Job Corps until I got about 1968. Then I came out of Job Corps, and I got a job upstate New York. And I worked up there for about 9 years. And I was doing my music on the side, and then all of a sudden, one day, the music just hit me hard, and I said, I'm going to go to California.
Just like that?
Yeah, and I just told them to ask my job for a year's absent leave, but they wouldn't give it to me. So I said, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to leave.
And you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was scary there.
Gutsy move.
Yeah.
So you just went out to L.A., or?
I went to L.A. one time, and I left L.A. the same day I got there. Because L.A., though, is not like New York. You can walk across the street, any kind of street. But L.A., you got to walk. Wait till the light turned green to walk. And they gave me a jaywalking ticket that day. And I said, this is not for me. So I went to San Francisco.
Yeah, they say Southern California is all laid back, right? I got news for you.
Yeah, I like San Francisco, though. It's Monterey and Sausalito and places like that. It's just, I love ocean scenery. And that's why I like California. I got ocean and mountains, you know.
But you were also, you did some time in Maine. I shouldn't say did some time. You spent some time in Maine.
Oh, that's when I was hitchhiking across country.
Oh, okay. And Alaska, I heard?
Yeah, I was in Ketchikan, Alaska.
Do you ever count up how many different states you spent time in?
If I can remember all the things that my brains went through. Oh, my God. Sometimes, you know, it was so hard. You know, sometimes you go to some hard points in life that you block it off, and I know that I shouldn't have do that, because when you block things, you block some good things out in the memories of it. And so now at my late age, I'm learning how to look at the hard points and look at the good parts in there and bring them out.
Mm.
You know, so that's what I'm trying to do now. But I try to give a recommend to the young kids in the ghettos, and tell them that what they need to open their mind and come out into the world and see the world for themselves, not what everybody tell them, the bad things of the world, because you soul search yourself and go out to the world and find the truth. Then you find your own truth. Then you know what everybody says to you wasn't really true.
Were you mostly working as a chef and a cook?
Yeah.
Or did you have some other crazy day jobs along the way?
I mostly have been, by trade, it was a cook and a chef. But I learned a handyman work as I kept going, because when I came back to New York, things went down so hard, and so I had to learn how to do things. So I learned being a handyman, and I got good at it. And so when things are not going right, I just, probably people call me to do work for them, and they say, can you do this? And I say, yeah. I learned how to do plumbing. I learned how to do carpenter work, sheetrocking, and, you know, concrete rig work, and I just learned how to do those things. You know, when I'm not a thief, so I learned how to use my talents that God gave me to do. So if I need money and I can't find a way to get no money, I just use my strength and say, wow. I watch a person do that and say, wow, that's where it's done. And then I go to myself and play with it. I say, oh, I got it. So somebody asked me, do you know how to do that? I say, yeah. And then I do it and come clear and they like it and they pay me for it.
So it sounds like you've had a lot of different jobs in a lot of different places and you've learned to do a lot of different things. Are you still doing some of that stuff on the side?
When things are down low and I have to do it, I do it.
Times are tough.
Yes.
But you're doing that in the day, the plumbing, the hammering, the cooking, and at night you're James Brown?
Right now what I'm doing now constantly is like mostly James Brown and my originals. That's where the world is pulling me at now. So I think that this is my time to go forward to those things. And like all this hard labor that I did all my life, music is a hard labor because you got to use your vocals, you got to do things to really let it find spots in you that you never found to give to the world.
Plus, I got to think soul music, right? You got to actually have some soul. You have to have felt some feelings to be able to sing the way that
but
you
I
do.
But I say soul ain't nothing but hurt and the pain in the ghetto, and you can't do nothing about it but sing it. Sometimes it hurts so deep, you don't know how to deal with it. So that's where sometimes I can't say what I want to say. And then what I do, I take it out on the music.
There's got to be a moment, though, when you're doing one thing and you're thinking about the other. So you're doing James Brown, and you're thinking about cooking. Or you're cooking, and you're thinking about doing James Brown. Is it ever sort of schizophrenic?
No, it's called a spiritual mind. A spiritual mind is open to all things. And because God said, you love me, and I'm the creator of all things, why should I be labored to one thing?
Oh, man. Well, Bradley, congratulations to you on this great record. No matter what happens with it, it's a fine piece of work. And hope to see you again real soon.
Thank you very much.
Hello!
Song How Long from his debut CD, No Time for Dreaming. Thanks to our engineer, Daniel Hodd. Today's producer for Words and Music from Studio A is Andrew Hirschman. You can hear this session and more in the online archives at WFUV.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Claudia Marshall for WFUV in New York.